In the East, they always compare the Buddhas and the gods to the mountains, to the Himalayas. That is the highest mountains. And that's where all the water is coming from that gives life. All the rivers is coming from the mountains, no? They run down to the human beings. Very few human beings are staying high up. So that is just an indication that from those high mountains, that is where the life-giving water is coming from. And if you want to drink, then you have to bow down then, not? You have to bow down to the river to drink. That's how we have done it for thousands of years, no? Before you get it in the taps. Huh? No, you are so proud, you can't bow down even to drink. No, you have to get it from the taps. That is an indication how it has gone. Huh? You can't even be grateful for water. What to say about the Buddhas? But in spite of that, in this arrogant world, sometimes it happens that people come back to the hearth. That is the greatest miracle. Otherwise, people are so busy doing so many things. And they even missing those things. They missing all the little things when they are away from it. Their house, their friends, their family, their boyfriend, their girlfriend. That is because you don't have anything higher. If you have something higher, you will never miss. Then it's always there, then wherever you go. That is how people are. I know people even now, they are very busy doing all kinds of things. Either they feel it's very important, or that they have to do it because of the family, or they just think it's fun, go sightseeing, driving around in circles. Taliba, you want to go somewhere? No. That's how it is. Then you are happy, and also you save a lot of money. That's it. On both sides, you win. Otherwise, you might get stuck in the traffic in Italy. Acha? How was the traffic in Europe? Mass, mass. And this is what people seek, mass. They already mass it and they feel very at home when they're stuck in the mass. What is inside reflects on the outside. Now everything is mass. It was not only me who felt like mass. Look, everything is a mass. Then fine.
I just don't want to be proud.
you're a bit alone, no? I mean, what is it also? Then yesterday we were talking about, no? And then what kind of excuse is it today, no? The sun went up at 4 o'clock in the morning. What's the problem? That's how you always delay things, Next time, next time, next time. Just because it's a little effort. What is effort? You have to do something anyway. What is the difference carrying some carpets or some chairs or to do dynamic? What's the difference? The more in nature it can be, the more happy I am, no? Because that's, I'm nature itself. If we can have a platform in the middle of the river, then do it. I will sit there. Maybe one day we can make that for 100 people, a big platform in the river. Then it's a little more to arrange, but so what? You have to do something, you are living now. Just a little effort to bring stereo down there and up there. What's the big fuss? I'm used to rearranged everything around my master, no? And that's how it should be. You're always available, no? It doesn't matter. Even if we had to start at midnight, it didn't matter, no? What to say about a few hours? Even if you had to start at midnight. Then it's fun then. That's the right way to do it. Anyway, for me it's okay. But for you, it is a good teaching, everything. Don't worry about me. Just wake up. Where's your Gita? You no child now? You have given up?
I don't think so.
You don't think, that's I know that. But don't think. Huh? Don't think. Okay? Give yourself one more chance, okay? Okay. Okay. Come with some questions, then I have a coffee instead.
I'm sitting here with you all these years and you're reading all these letters. And I just realized it's all the same answer.
And what is the answer? No, you see how difficult it is to accept. So simple, no?
Simple. such a fool.
Yes, such a fool. You all fools. So, at least you're in good company. It's a fool there. It's very humbling, yeah. Because you've all been so arrogant, no? That's why this has to melt. Nobody wants to melt. You want to be happy and still you want to be arrogant. You want to be in love and you still want to be proud. Not possible. The only way is to bow down, to melt, to realize. But you can't do it. Because it's much bigger than you. Something has to happen, no? And that's what's happening. That's what is called insight, no? Then it's very humbling when you start seeing. That's how it always been. You see, it's a very thin line, no? It's a very, very thin line. Suddenly you're in it and then you're out of it, and it makes the whole world of difference. When you're outside, then everything becomes important. All non-essential things becomes important. When you're in it, then everything is perfect. Then all those things disappear, evaporates, totally effortless. Because then you are home then. When you are home, you have nothing to miss then. When you're not at home, then you miss all kinds of things. And if you don't know what that home is, then you fill yourself with all kinds of nonsense that you think is important, that will make you happy. It can be things, it can be any fool that looks up to you and thinks you are great, or fantastic, or beautiful, or money, or prestige, or power, anything. Just keeping busy to stay away from yourself, no? But this is good. Very good beginning of the summer. And we are so stubborn, so it takes some years. Don't be more hard on yourself. It's fine. It is working. Huh? Just let it go deeper and deeper in. This is how it is. And say goodbye to that old arrogance, that old stubbornness. It has to go. You have to start functioning in service of truth, of love. Huh? Only then will you be happy. Jump in the Dharma River. The Dharma River is very strong. You don't even need to swim. It will take you to the ocean. But if you are not ready, then you will be afraid then, that it, you will drown. What happened with the questions now? Yeah, you can try. Yeah.
And many people are coming for the retreat.
Yeah.
And they need a place to stay.
Yeah.
And when I feel clear and happy, yeah. I really like to invite people to my garden and to my house.
Yeah.
And I'm doing so.
Yeah.
At the same time, I can see see that my mind freaks a little bit out about this. But,
No, no, just invite them. Your mind is already freaked out. It doesn't matter. At least you help some people. Huh? Otherwise, you will just sit there with your freaked out mind and not help anybody. And it's much better than to help somebody. Your freaked out mind is there anyway, so just accept it, be happy. Invite as much as you can. Because then it's better to be occupied and be in service for other people, because then you don't think so much with your own mind, no? So don't worry about it. It's the right thing. Yeah. That's how it is. The ego, the mind, likes conflict. Because then it can struggle. Then it feels it is. If it's no struggle, then no mind. So that's why it is arrogant. Because then it feels it is there. It can fight and argue for what it thinks is right. That is the fight with the mind and the heart. And when you come back to your heart, then it has a totally different teaching to you. Is not interested in any arrogance. It is longing for peace, it is longing for surrender, it is longing to melt, to be at home. So the heart, if the heart is awoken, if the heart is alive, if you can feel it, then the heart always wants to bow down to love. And that is what the heart wants. It's peace. It's harmony. It's beauty. It's happiness. That the arrogant person, he can never feel that. It's two different dimensions. That is the wisdom heart. But very few come in contact with it, because they are too arrogant, they are too lost in the mind. This mind has to give up. This mind itself has to realize the truth. Then even the mind will bow down. I will read you some things from the Buddha. The fool is careless, but the master guards his watching. It is his most precious treasure. He never gives in to his mind, to desires. He meditates, he watches. And this is his strength. In this he discovers true happiness. He overcomes desires. And from the mountain of wisdom he looks down with great compassion upon the sorrowing crowd. From his mountaintop he looks down on those who live close to the ground. Mindful among the mindless, awake while others dream, by watching, how wonderful it is to watch. By watching, you become king, queens. How foolish to sleep. The bhikshu who guards his mind and fears the waywardness of his thoughts burns through every bone with the fire of his vigilance. The bhikshu who guards his mind and fears his own confusion cannot fall. He has found the way to peace. The Buddha is saying the fool is careless. That's what Ram said just in the beginning. I'm such a fool. Yeah, you all fools, because you are careless. You don't know what treasure you have. When you find the treasure, everything changes. The fool is careless. And who does the Buddha call the fool? He calls the fool the unconscious man, the sleepy man, who is wasting his life. That is the fool. And everybody is just wasting his precious life. The fool is careless, but the master guards his watching. It is his most precious treasure. This awareness is the most precious thing. That is the only law you need. Out of this, your commitment, your responsibility, your joy, your focus, all is happening without any responsibility, without any understanding. How can you be in tune with existence? Then the Buddha calls you fool. The fool is careless. And everybody is careless because they are not conscious. And that's why again and again you do the same things. And then for a moment you can feel happy when you get the new thing. Then again, reality starts seeing that this is not lasting. Again, I fooled myself. Again, I was high. No, I'm down. This is the fool. Again and again and again, you try. Just changing things. It is the same stupidity as I'm going to be happy when I have a blue jacket. I'm going to be happy when I have a yellow jacket. I'm going to be happy when I have a red jacket. It's the same thing in many, many different forms. It's not going to make you happy. It's not going to bring you peace. And it's definitely not going to bring you understanding, wisdom. The fool is careless, but the master guards is watching. It is his most precious treasure. He never gives in to the mind, to desire. He meditates, he watches. This is the strength. This is his strength. He discovers true happiness. And only when you becoming more aware that you are not the thoughts, you are not the mind, only then can you be on guard and watch these thoughts, these desires, this mind who always want to do something. Only then can you start becoming aware and stop yourself. Because first the thought, then the action. If just a little bit awareness, then you stop the action. You can see that this is not conscious. It's just my mind, it's just my desire. It's just my impulse. But very few people do that. They just act asleep. Wherever the current takes you, you go there. Without any awareness. He never gives in to his mind, to desire. He meditates and he discovers true happiness. Because now, when you are not following the mind, then you become your own master then. It's not the mind, it's not the ego that is leading your life. You become your own master. Then only you start having some presence. Otherwise, you're always just a slave. He overcomes desire. And what is desire? Desire is the mind. It's this restless mind that always is looking for something. And you never find, because it always takes you away from yourself. And truth is here now. Love is here now. Silence is here now. Meditation is here now. So the only way is to stop, is to understand the tricks of the mind, of desires. He overcome desire, and from the mountain of wisdom he looks down with compassion. And anybody who comes back to themselves, who can see, get great compassion. Because now you see, oh my God, I've been so stupid myself. I've been such a fool myself. But now I can see. That's where compassion comes. You cannot have true compassion if you haven't realized your own heart, your own seeing. Then you understand the human dilemma. He looks down with compassion on the sorrowing crowd. And that's what the Buddha calls the people, the sorrowing crowd, the all the human beings that go round in the wheel of samsara, who never gets out, just in a big soup. From the mountaintop, he looks down on those who live close to the ground. Mindful among the mindless, awake while others dream. By watching, you become king, you become queen. How wonderful it is to watch. How foolish it is to sleep. This is what always the enlightened ones have said. In the Bhagavad Gita also, they have a sentence that says, when everybody sleeps, the yogi is awake. When everybody is lost in the mind, the yogi is awake. He doesn't get confused. The bhikshu who guards his mind and fears the waywardness of his thoughts burns through every bone with the fire of his vigilance. And the Buddha, he calls his disciples bhikshus. Or at least that's what they called now. Bhikshu, it means a beggar. That is his sannyasins, his disciples. This must have come from, because Buddha was a prince, and he had to go to the opposite. He dropped his whole kingdom, and he became a beggar. But this they have totally missed out on, that this is nothing special. It was special for Buddha because he was already a prince. What's the point of a beggar to become a beggar? It meant something for Buddha. It means something to give up your whole kingdom, all your wealth, everything. It's just an indication that you have to give up everything. You have to be ready. Whatever it is, you have to be ready to give it up. Because it's all the material. It has nothing to do with your inner splendor. So in Buddha's part, he became a bhikshu, a beggar. And then all now the monks from the Buddhist tradition, they're going to hold on to this being a beggar. In the East, they still go around begging in the morning. But that they don't realize because they are following somebody. Maybe that is not their part. It doesn't mean anything to be a beggar if it doesn't come in from you. In India, it's the same thing. Many people, when they grow up, they have their children old and they are free again when they are becoming 50, 60, 70. Then they become sadhus because they have done their thing in society with the family. Then they drop everything and they become wandering sadhus. But it's just a part of the tradition. Maybe it's not for you. So it can be good, it cannot be good. But this is the thing, when you are following somebody else, there is no highway to heaven. And Buddha always taught you had to look at yourself. I'm sure that he didn't say that everybody should be a beggar. But it has a nice meaning to it, and that is that you don't have anything. But when it becomes a tradition, then it's no more any beauty in it, because you just do something in sleep. You just do something as a habit. For Buddha himself, it had a deep meaning. So the bhikshu, that is the disciples of the Buddha, that is the sannyasin. He said, the disciple who guards his mind and fears the waywardness of his thoughts. The one who is watching his mind and is afraid, fears his waywardness of his thought, he is on guard when the mind comes and is going to pull you somewhere. Because the mind goes all the time. And the only difference for a meditator is that you don't get caught in it. Because the mind cannot do anything to you, it's just a thought. You are the watcher, the mind is happening in you. So if you don't act on the thought, then you are safe. Then you become your own master. Then slowly, slowly, when you are meditating and watching your mind and how it functions, then you see what is important and what not. And 90% is just clouds moving. The bhikshu who guards his mind and fears the waywardness of his thoughts burns through every bond with the fire of his vigilance. But you have to be vigilant, you have to be on guard, you have to be steady. Because it's very easy to miss. It's very easy to miss. And you have missed many times. And many people around me, they know that they've been close many times, but they missed. Because again the mind comes, again you do the same thing. And when you come closer to your own source, your own wisdom, when you start falling in tune, with yourself, with me, then you start remembering. Then you remember this from the past also, that you had this feeling before, but you didn't take care of it. The bhikshu who guards his mind and fears his own confusion cannot fall. He has found the way to peace. And this is the only fear that you should have, your own confusion, your own mind. That is the only fear. There's no other fear. Only your own mind can corrupt you. If you are clear, then the whole world becomes clear, everything becomes clear. So for the true disciple, the true sannyasin, the only fear he has is his own confusion, because he knows that out of confusion he does stupid things. That's why it has to be very careful to to act when you are confused. Every retreat, I'm telling you, when you are in a clear space, when you have true insight, take notice and stand up for it, because the test will be afterwards. Remember, write it down, treasure it, because you will be tested again. The only fear is his own confusion. He cannot fall. He has found the way to peace. And the way to peace is awareness, is meditation, is watchfulness, is to be vigilant. And slowly, slowly you become your own master. You don't fall in the traps that you've always been doing, that everybody is doing. You are alert, you can see it. Most people, they do the same mistake their whole life, again and again and again. It's very normal in all the countries of the world. They say, how could this happen again to me? Because you are asleep. Because you are a fool, that's why. Because you haven't learned your lesson. So existence is trying to, again, you have to do it. Then with a little awareness, then you start getting aware. I don't know if I should do this. Because you know, somewhere inside, you know the outcome. But still, you hope against hope. And you try, maybe this time, I will be happy. Then as awareness goes deeper, then you start catching it. You feel the thought, oh no, then you don't go there, then more awareness. Because first the thought, then the action, and then the karma of the action. You haven't seen how this whole wheel is moving. Only by seeing and understanding how this wheel is moving can you get out of it. Because what you sow, you will reap. And people are so good to just sow onions that they cry all the time. Why don't you start sowing roses or lilies or lotuses? That's the bhikshu who guards his mind and fears his own confusion. He cannot fall. He has found the way to peace. No, he is responsible of his own life. He doesn't need to depend on anybody or ask anybody, because he knows it's all up to him how he lives his life. And whatever he does, that will be the results. He has to deal with that. That is your karma. That's what they call karma. For someone who is alert, for a Buddha, is no karma. It's only karma when you stir things up. Karma means unconscious. It's the same thing, you do things. Or if it is any karma, then what karma can it be? Just more and more bliss. Because that's what you've been sowing. So be on guard. So if one has come to that, the disciple who guards his mind and fears his own confusion cannot fall. He has found the way to peace. Then, of course, when you have found the way and accepted the way that makes you peaceful, that makes you whole, that makes you happy, then many things will fall away then. This is just what we were talking about yesterday also. Because you will be much more sensitive. When you start understanding yourself, then you start understanding the whole world, and you understand how people functioning. No, you have gotten other interests that makes you peaceful, that make you content. Then you don't want to disturb that. Only a fool can disturb that, or someone who doesn't know about how to find peace. So then you don't want to be with people that you get more mind from. You don't want to be with situations or places that you get more confused. You want to be with people who gives you more peace, who understand. This is the whole meaning of the Sangha, of a Buddha field, of an ashram, of fellow travelers, because then it gets even easier. No, you have support. You are alone, but you have the energy, you have the support. Otherwise, it's very difficult to take care of it. Because in this world, nobody takes care of that. They are busy with all other things. So then, of course, if you have been a lot with unconscious people, you want to more retreat and take care of your space. It's natural, because you are more sensitive, you see what disturbs it, and that is the most precious. And, of course, you are much more careful what energies, because it's not only pollution in the city. It's not only pollution in the air. You have a mental pollution. You have emotional pollutions. You have many, many different pollutions. So whoever you are with, the more sensitive you are, that's the energy you are getting into you. And how conscious is that energy you take into you? When you start becoming more aware, of course you take more care of this. And it's effortless, because you just feel it, you don't want to do that. In the beginning it can be very difficult. Ordinary people, they can't even say no. You're invited to a party to your old childhood friend, and you're saying to your boyfriend, "Oh, I hate to go there, but I have to go." These people are just so embarrassingly stupid, but they have to go. This is how ordinary people, they're going against themselves all the time. Till you start getting more conscious, then you are happy that you are saying no. You don't have any guilt, because you know that all this has to go. Why should you even keep those relationships? It's just hindering you. So life in that way more simple, less places, less interferences. You interfere less with people, that is unconsciously. Slowly, slowly, you're making your own temple wherever you are. That is bounty, but it's not something you have to do. It comes when your consciousness is growing. So this is just what Buddha reminded me, or I reminded him, I don't know, but we talked about the same thing at least, because it's the same family. And the fool is careless. The master guards his watching. It is his most precious treasure. And the fool, if you're asleep, then you go anywhere, you talk anywhere, you eat anything. Look at human beings, what is ordinary now? They eat everything. Just like pigs. Are you human or are you a pig? That's what people eat. Burgers. And grind up sausages. A mix between a horse and a cow and a goat and God knows what, anything. And just with some ketchup and senap, oh, how good it is. Are you a pig or what? Because you've never been thinking what you're eating. On all levels, and this is just the beginning, slowly people now start getting interested in health food, in what they eat to take care of the body, but that is just the beginning. And the next is, how polluted are your mind? How is your emotion? How is the energy? What are you taking in? Not only food, but everything. What are you putting out? You have to become aware on all levels of your life. Then when everything is in harmony, then peace comes by itself. Happiness comes like a shadow when you are living a natural life. It's bound to do that because everything is in harmony. The only thing that human beings, they are the only one who can fuck it up. And on the other side, they can really make it good also. So they have both the side of the spectrum. And if you live just like an unconscious pig when you are a human being, of course you can't be happy. Something in you, conscious or unconscious, will always long for something else till you come back to that harmony, till you come back to that simplicity, till you come back to that awareness, till you come back to that peace. And that is the whole search. May everybody find that and be vigilant. Aum Shanti. And we are very blessed because we have the best place on the whole planet for this summer. Be more sensitive, be more vigilant. Take care of yourself. Rest in your inner Buddha nature. That should be the focus. Om Tat Sat.